And welcome back, Nashville. What a day in the world of sports. There is so much going on right now. Almost, Joe Rex wrote, almost not enough time to get to it. I'm John Roberts. Marquise Munson is behind the glass. This is The Morning Drive, 102.5 The Game. And, man, you know, the headlines got to be grabbed right now by what's going on in the world of college sports. I don't think it was, I mean, it wasn't inevitable. I thought it was going to happen. It's just shocking, though, Joe, when you hear something from two of the Power Five football conferences that they will not play in the fall. College football in so many parts of the country, I'd like to say every part of the country, is just woven into the fabric of what we do, of what we love, and then you take in the devastation of the players. I am not too sure as of right now we can really grasp the full impact of this.
No doubt. And you're talking about on the economy of college sports, you're talking about a lot of businesses, a lot of towns that rely heavily on those 7 or 8 weekends a year. And just a lot. And look, these athletes, we've talked about it. We need to continue to talk about it. Mental health right now is absolutely a big concern for these kids who have been identified with these sports for many, many years, and now it's taken away from them this fall.
Joe, I want to bring in Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. And Nicole, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate the time that I know is very busy for you right now. What was your initial reaction? Was there any surprise when you heard this news, or did you think it was just a matter of time?
Well, you know, it was a matter of time for both of the two conferences that made the big call on Tuesday, you know, for a number of weeks now. And honestly, from even earlier in the quarantine, it just felt like the leadership in those leagues had kind of maybe faced COVID head on and understood what a long shot it was going to be longer than some of their peers. And I think a lot of that probably had to do with what areas got hit hardest early, because if you look at the Big Ten footprint, and you look at the Pac-12 footprint, that certainly makes sense. And so I just think they've been looking at this very clear-eyed for a very long time about all of the things that would need to happen, need to be in place from a community standpoint, state standpoint, in order to see if this could work. And then to get to that point, to get the feedback from their medical advisory groups and to make a decision, even though it's unpopular. It also had felt for a number of weeks that both of those leagues and their leadership would be willing to stick their neck out and do that.
Okay, Nicole, so it sounds like, and you have reported this, that there have been some recent studies related to the, and I may butcher this word, but myocarditis, I believe,
yes.
That have been of particular concern. Now, my question is, first of all, why doesn't Kevin Warren, speak more thoroughly about that when he talks about this? Because I think he could have been more detailed and forthcoming on some of the things they talked about. And also, I wonder why Ronnie Green, University of Nebraska-Lincoln Chancellor, essentially comes out and says, we think it's safe. We know that other leagues right now are waiting and seeing, and we'll see how that all turns out. But like that, to me, from the outside looking in, speaks of, you know, different people in the same league listening to different medical information.
Well, I mean, if you heard yourself just say that, doesn't that sound like our entire country right now?
Yes, so it does. Yes.
People are choosing to believe certain studies and certain information, or certain people telling them their information. So it's oddly a perfect microcosm of the larger issues here, where this has been very different depending on where you live and your personal experience with COVID, your personal, where you personally are getting your information and what you believe, because apparently we don't have a shared set of facts anymore. So I think that, you know, one thing, and hopefully there's more transparency coming from the three leagues and their medical advisory groups, you know, the three that are trying to play on, is they're going to have to also be transparent about this heart condition. Because, you know, if it got to a point where, you know, emerging information and data, you know, was alarming enough for two leagues for this to be an important factor in two leagues shutting it down, those three leagues, Big 12, SEC, and the ACC, are going to need to explain exactly how they are going to make sure that that isn't as alarming. And obviously, you know, EKGs and you know, this is something that can be treated and all of these pieces to the puzzle, but they're going to need to be transparent as well. And your point is valid about Kevin Warren. I do think he possibly could have made this clearer. I think what the Pac-12 did was more effective, putting out their medical document and kind of specifically outlining. They didn't go into a ton of details on myocarditis, but they did, you know, outline, you know, potential long-term, potential side effects, and they literally outlined why you can't play right now and all the conditions that weren't met. That was helpful. And so I think, you know, hopefully the Big Ten gets to a point where maybe they can release their medical documents or add more transparency. But honestly, it's coming to a point where, to the earlier point about people believing different doctors and different studies and different reporting, I think we're going to need a lot more of this to be made public. There needs to be a lot more transparency, especially if these medical groups disagree with each other, because, you know, this is really important. This is a lot of people's health at stake. And also, you know, this is a new virus that the public doesn't know a lot about. And I think that it would just be very helpful if, you know, the public at large can get more information from these medical groups.
No, I'm really glad you said that last part, Nicole, because I think another issue, you're right, it's different people. You can go out and find anything to confirm what you want to believe right now in the world. But also, like, even the science community doesn't know a lot. I mean, that disclaimer needs to be put with everything here is like, people will go back and say a doctor said something in March that turns out totally wrong or changes minds. Like, yeah, we are watching these scientists and doctors in real time try to figure this out as everybody races to do so. And so to me, I guess, why wouldn't you take the safest possible option, right? That would be, I guess that would be in general my feeling on that. But yes, I do want to see more transparency, more discussion, and like you said, Nicole, more from the leagues that are deciding. Let me throw this at you real fast. Let's say these studies hadn't come out, okay? These recent studies about the heart issues. We still have the virus not doing well in this country. You still have concerns, including liability, and I believe that has to be part of this discussion. Do you think without that, they would have trudged forward on this?
It's a good question. It's hard to predict. I do think that it's possible they move forward with padded practices. They get into training camp because the two things that in the three leagues that are still going are pointing on, you know, there's two great unknowns right now. One is, what is training camp going to mean for potential spread in a roster? They've been trying to do small group workouts. They've been trying to social distance as much as possible. What does it mean when you have more players in close proximity to each other? That's an unknown that we're now starting to get information about as camps have opened. And then the other unknown is the regular students. So you've got students starting classes on Monday, this past Monday, at places like UNC and Notre Dame. So that information is also going to help inform these decisions. So I do think at that point, maybe it is possible that the other leagues do wait a little bit to see what information you get from those two unknowns. But, you know, there were so many other factors that come into this, to your point about kind of like how the society and their communities were handling this. So the fact that, you know, you're running into issues with testing in a number of places in the Pac-12 because there were outbreaks and the healthcare system was overwhelmed. I mean, the fact that if you can't have testing that you're feeling is accurate, reliable, and getting results within a reasonable time frame, you're not going to be able to move forward either, because then there's a good chance there's an unchecked outbreak at any given point. If you have to wait days and days in between getting your test results back, you know, there were a number of states that have imposed travel restrictions that would need to have exemptions to move around and not have to 14-day quarantine when they return back from a game. So there were a lot of other pieces that, again, you know, come into the calculation, but they could have, again, you know, waited a little bit longer. And that's really what we were hearing from Ohio State, Iowa, and in some other places in the Big Ten, that they just wanted – they did prefer a delay and to see if things got better in a few weeks. Those factors would have still come into play. But, you know, I think when you're thinking about potentially unknown long-term health condition, you know, potential side effects, that's where the urgency comes in.
Talking to Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. And Nicole,
When you look at the players, the devastation of the players, I think, is something that your heart has to go out to. But recently, a gentleman of the stature of Roger Penske, who had to decide not to let fans in the Indy 500, said that that was the most difficult business decision of his entire life. So that makes me think that these presidents and these people that have had this thing weigh on them, how difficult do you think it was for these people to pull the plug, or do you think it was an easy decision for them to decide to err on the side of safety?
I do not think it was easy. Part of the reason that this has gone to this point is that there's so much money at stake, right? There's a lot of people's livelihoods at stake. You know, these players, many of them want to play, which they made clear via hashtag over the weekend. And it's not easy to take that away from them. To Joe's earlier point, mental health services is going to be a huge piece of this moving forward. And also just a sense of normalcy about what practices can look like and staying on campus. But from a financial standpoint, I was on a number of Zoom calls with Big Ten athletic directors yesterday, and they are not mincing words. They have been doing different financial models for best case scenario, worst case scenario, different capacity models, different games to figure out what this lost revenue is going to be. And you saw a couple of different athletic directors throw out potentially $100 million in lost revenue. So, you know, it's not easy. There's going to be, as Barry Alvarez says, there's going to have to be layoffs. I would expect that, you know, more coaches are going to have to take more pay cuts, maybe furloughs. You saw that a little bit earlier in the pandemic with some of the football coaching staff. And it's going to be a challenge moving forward. I mean, I think depending on if you can play in the spring and, you know, potentially any money you can recoup at that point, you know, again, you need to have the NCAA tournament. You need that money coming in. There's still a lot of unknowns from a financial standpoint in the next academic year, but you have to figure out some of these things, and you've got to think that kind of college athletics as a whole could look very different in a few years, depending on who can come out of this and what recalibrates.
Okay, two quick ones, Nicole. I'm gonna throw the scale of 1 to 10 at you on both of them, 10 being most likely that the other three leagues – follow suit at some point, and that a spring season is viable?
I would say it's a pretty high number that we'll eventually get there with the other leagues. Again, unless maybe there's drastic changes in society, and behavior. Because, you know, to this point, you know, everyone just kind of took for granted that we'd be in a position by September to play these sports outside of a bubble and with travel, without really changing behavior too much as individuals in society. And so I think there is an expectation through, you know, administrators and a lot of levels that the other leagues will eventually get there and make the same call. But again, they're going to try. They're going to see what could potentially change. They want to see what medical information we'll have, and they want to see, you know, how it goes with regular thousands of students, which, by the way, if that just causes massive spikes on campuses, that makes that decision easier, or at least more straightforward. Again, it's not an easy decision. And to the subject of spring, you know, I think people are going to figure out if it's viable in the next few weeks and months here. I don't think anyone's going to throw in the towel on day one and say it's not doable. There's obviously a lot of concerns about playing two seasons in the same calendar year. You've got to think that they would be shorter, you know, that would still potentially impact the fall 2021 season, and it wouldn't be returning to normal. But, you know, if the other option is to not have college football for the entire academic year and not recoup any of that lost revenue, I just think you've got to try. So I expect, we'll figure out if it's viable and what it looks like. You've had, you know, the Junior College Association and the SWAC have released models of how they're going to do the spring season. So again, people are trying and people are going to do it. We'll see if they can do it at the highest level of college football.
Nicole Auerbach, thank you so much for your insight. We appreciate the time. Stay safe and hope to talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right, so much to take into consideration right here, Joe. When we come back, we are going to follow the money. Stay with us, everybody. You are listening to The Morning Drive, 102.5 The Game.